Okay, good morning and welcome to the Code Enforcement Board meeting of April 13th, 2017. The meeting is now called to order. May we have a roll call, Madam Secretary?
Mr. Weatherholt?
Here.
Mrs. Howe?
Here.
Mrs. Hines?
Here.
Mr. Smart?
Here.
Mr. Harrington?
Here.
Mr. Jones?
Here.
And Mrs. Sunday?
Here.
And Mr. Sino is here as well. Everybody's here.
Everybody's here.
All right, has everyone had a chance to look over the minutes?
Yes.
Are there any additions or corrections? Okay, the chair will take a motion to approve minutes.
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Smart, second by Mr. Weatherholt. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. Madam Secretary, do we have... Oh, let's do the disclosure of ex parte communication. Does anyone need to disclose anything?
Anybody have any questions about what that is? I think you all pretty much know what that is. Okay.
All right. Madam Secretary, do we have any announcements?
Yes, Madam Chair, we do have several announcements this morning. If you'd like, I can go ahead and read into
Please.
The record the compliance cases. Okay, number two, case number CEB081643 for 264 Fountain Lake Boulevard is in compliance as of February 7th. Number three, CEB121670 for 202 South Seneca Boulevard was compliance March 31st. Case number five, CEB011701 for 334 Georgetown Drive was compliance April 6th. Number seven, CEB011705 for 349 Wilson was compliance April 3rd. Number eight, CEB021711 for 338 Fulton Street, compliance April 3rd. And if we move on to the new cases, case number 11 for CEV041716 for 5th Avenue, and there's a short parcel 5309120000050 is being withdrawn by staff. Number 12, CEV041717 for 1481 North Peninsula Drive, compliance April 3rd. And the last, we have two more. 16 for ZEB041722 for 100 Palma Valley Drive is also being withdrawn.
Oh, okay.
And on page 6, we have number 29 for case number CEB041736 for 129 Tarragona Way is compliance April 12th. And the last one is number 31, case number CEB041738 for 1421 Suwannee Road was compliance April 1st. And I believe that's today.
That's a lot.
That's a lot.
Compliant, was it case number 29 that was compliant?
Yes, ma'am, April 12th.
Okay. And... Then case 31.
And case 31 is the last one that I'm aware of.
Okay. All right. Any other announcements?
Not to my knowledge, ma'am.
All right, would code officers please come forward and be sworn in?
Raise your name. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
All right, everyone, here's our procedure. We will be calling cases by number and for the most part in order as they are listed on the agenda. When your case is called, please come forward and be sworn in. State your name and address for the record. If you're not the owner of the property, please state your relationship to the owner of the property. Our proceedings are recorded, so please speak directly into the microphone. We're also on TV today. The board hears from the code officers first, and then you'll be given the opportunity to respond. Please direct all your responses to the board. Witnesses may testify following the same procedures. Do we have any attorneys present? Okay, then we'll just...
No,
yeah, there are attorneys present. Nobody here for a case.
Nobody here for a case.
For a compliance case, so I'm not sure.
Okay. All right. We'll start with... Case number one, CEB 041-6-20, David E. Spivey. At 1100 Vine Street. Is the respondent present? Okay, please come forward.
Good morning. Can you both state your names, please, in the microphone for the record?
David Spivey, owner of Brock.
Okay. Ma'am?
I'm his wife.
Just state your name. Okay.
Ron.
All right, Ron. Are you going to be testifying?
Probably.
Okay. Then, yeah. Be sworn in then. Okay.
Raise your right hand.
I know.
Can you raise your right hand, please? Ma'am? Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do.
Thank you.
Yes, I did.
Okay, we're going to hear from staff first, and then we'll give you a chance to talk, okay?
Good morning, Madam Chair.
Good morning.
Members of the board, Anthony Jackson, attorney for the city. This case has been around for a little bit. It's very familiar to all of you. The Spivey says we discussed before. They had a challenge with excessive collections on property by their own admission, an aspect of hoarding that we've been working on, and the staff has been working with them and trying to see how to get the property remedy. Our last time before you, the report was that there was a couple that had been at a prior meeting, overheard the circumstance, and was assisting them. That situation has changed. They no longer have that assistance. They have made a small bit of progress, but all in all, the property remains in non-compliance. The report I have, the inspector in this case is John Stinson. The report I have is that the yard by the front door is cleared and the trail in the back has been demolished with scrap metal, but other than that, no measurable work or progress has been made other than that. So with that being said, this case has been around since December of 2015. There's nothing else that with all the creativity that the staff has worked on, there's nothing else we really know we can do other than to move forward. And moving forward being to ask that you fine the respondent $250 fine to a maximum of $10,000. As I said, the inspector, John Stinson, if you have any further questions regarding any factual questions regarding the property, I can assist.
Could we see? Okay, here we go. Thank you.
Tony, it's Homestead property, right?
Homestead,
yes.
Okay. Yes.
Okay. So.
All right. Any questions?
Imposing
from the board?
A fine will not correct the situation unless they choose to sell the property. Is that correct?
Well, I guess the main point is that that's the only two we have. But yes, point well taken.
Are we sure that we've exhausted every means to help these people? Perhaps a church that would come and clean it up, or local volunteers?
Ms. House, what I can say, and I think you may recall, that the staff is
worked hard. I know.
And a lot of reaching out, even with the at the request of the respondents to television program for hoarding and other things. And every discussion I've had with staff is that, as far as the limits of what staff can do, in fact, they probably went over and above what we just because of the circumstance and the need to try to remedy this desperate problem.
Excuse me.
We'll give you a chance. Hold on. Does the board have any more questions for staff?
I have a question.
Go ahead.
Our last meeting was February 9th. We didn't have a meeting last month because of bike week, and the staff was tied up with that. Mr. Stenson, have you seen any progress in the last period since February 9th?
Good morning, John Stinson, code inspector. My cases are on file. Myself and the code supervisor, Hedge Garcia, performed a re-inspection on the property just yesterday. And like Mr. Jackson said, other than those few things that were mentioned, the front yard has been cleaned up, and one trailer on the property has been demolished. Other than that, there's been no measurable progress.
Okay. Spiveys, would you like to come forward and make comments? What would you like to tell us?
Okay, yesterday we did get in touch with the Mormon Church. There were two young gentlemen that came by about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. These people had already left. Had I known, I didn't know at the time they were going to come that day, but they did come and they did clean up a bit more of where that trailer has been demolished. Because the other people had left it. I had given them that trailer, and they had left it on the property when they left. They did get upset. I'm still not sure what upset them. But anyhow, they have not been back. She's apparently got cancer, had to have some chemo pills or something. But they haven't been back to get the rest of the trailer or anything, so they're upset. So I'm waiting now for somebody to come and get the axles and the rest of that cleared out.
This weekend,
my nephew's coming to get all the plastering equipment out of the garage. The man with the dumpster had come up, and he had put the dumpster in the backyard. He was supposed to come into the front yard, come through to knock the back end down. He couldn't get past all the stuff they had piled up there. So it became a problem. There was a bit of a communication problem.
Is this Mormon Church from, I don't mean to interrupt you, from the one from Orlando?
The Sixth Street, yeah. It's from originally the one on Sixth Street is where the gentleman came from. And they're from Utah. And they're a missionary.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, and they did come, and so I don't have the money to be paying fines, but, you know, we have to do what we have to do, and if that's it, that's it. We're old, we're slow, and it was not our stuff to begin with. It was actually his mother's stuff that has gotten left. And at this point, I think we can probably pull it together within a month, but I mean, you know, that's just the way it is. And I really personally, I think we both realize that we just have to sell the property. We're just too old to take care of it.
Too big for us to handle.
It's just too much.
Years ago, I could handle it. In fact, I did for years. I did. But after the my hips get out on me, my back's gone, I can hardly keep up with it. Lawnmower kills me driving, even with a nice new one.
Okay, thank you. Does the board have any comments or questions? I think that everyone knows how long that code enforcement has worked on this problem and how much effort they've put into it and how understanding the board has been. At this point, I'm not sure there's anything left for us to do other than impose the fine that code enforcement is asking for. So, unless I hear otherwise, the chair will entertain a motion to impose a fine of $250 per day against the respondent effective today, April 13th, 2017, and continue until compliance is achieved or reaches the maximum of $10,000. Is there such a motion?
So
moved. All right. Motion, Mrs. Himes, second.
Check.
Mr. Harrington, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. Thank you. All right, case number 2 is in compliance. Case number 3 is in compliance. Case number 4, CEB 11-15-58, Daytona Beach Club Condo Association. And they're here for a bi-monthly progress report. All right, we'll hear from Good Morning. You want to be sworn in if you're going to testify.
Yes, ma'am. I'm Bill Turcott. I'm the owner of AAT Restoration here, the general contractor doing the work on Daytona Beach Club.
I'm Steve Merchant. I'm president of the HOA there.
Okay, good morning. We'll hear. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Raise your hand. Please do solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Thank you.
All right. We'll hear from staff.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is before you for a progress report. The inspector is Tom Flea. This is, as you said, something where what has been and is a long-term project that started off Lucille, our first involvement back in September 2015.
We have no advance report, but we anticipate and we're ready to hear from the respondent of where they are on the project.
Okay.
We have been doing extensive demolition in the parking garage. That's where the majority of the concrete damage was. We have had a change of engineer. LP engineer Lou Burrows had some surgery that didn't go well for him on his back. They've turned the project over to United Engineering. That the city of Daytona has been notified, the permit has been altered to include that. I have their progress reports, number 1 through 7, here for you if you'd like them.
Yeah.
There you go. And those are the project reports with photographs of the work that's in progress and has been completed. I'm anticipating we're likely going to be on this project for another 8 to 10 months to finish the building. The plan is to finish the restoration work on the garage areas and then mobilize to the structures themselves. We've already secured anything that is in the public.
Anything else?
No, the only thing I'd like to add, Madam Chairman, and to the board is we've consistently moved this forward since the new board came involved, and we're have the money in place, and we continue to move the project as quickly as we can based on the engineer and the contractors that are in place. So thank you.
Okay. Comments from the board?
Madam Chair, I do have a question. I know the initial thought was that this would be resolved somewhere near January of 2018. Is that pretty much the time period you're talking about?
Yeah, by the end of the year, the project should be done. Okay. Very close to it.
Okay.
Okay. Any comments from the board?
Did the new engineer of record, did he find the field reports and everything adequate, and did he do a reevaluation? Or?
Yes, sir. He reviewed the specifications that the project was permitted with, and we're still working under those specifications. And they're acting as the inspecting engineer over there, furnishing the reports that you see that you furnish to the building department as well.
When did he come on board? The new engineer?
Strangely enough, as you all know, this project got pushed back a year, and just when we were ready to start the first time, we had issues with the association.
I remember.
Just when we were ready to start this time, the engineer had that back surgery that went bad, so we were in a scramble to figure out who was going to run the project. So he came on board right at the beginning of this work in January when we started.
Okay.
May I speak to that, ma'am?
Sure.
We were very pleased with engineer Mr. Perez, and we're disappointed to hear of the change. The advantage of United Engineering, there would do our research. They're an experienced company. They came in. I met with them personally in the board. We moved approval for the new engineer with our attorney's approval as well within 8 hours. We moved very quickly because our concern, respectfully here and from any other standpoint, is to get the project completed in a timely manner. And meeting with the engineer, we're very pleased with their input. The field reports, all 7, have been generated by the new engineering firm, and literally they're on it, and we couldn't be more pleased with the project.
Okay.
Thank you.
Any comments from staff and your recommendation?
Report.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
just continue.
Yes, okay.
We don't need a motion.
No, the last order has bi-monthly all the way through December 14th, 2017, would be the last meeting. So the next meeting is June 8th, 2017.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
We'll see you in June.
Thank you.
All right. Case number 5 is in compliance. Case number 6, CEV 0217-13, Ambassador of Business Health Wellness at 1301 North Atlantic. Respondent present, please come forward.
My name is Carl Lottenslager, and I live at 1245 North Atlantic. Unfortunately, I'm a neighbor.
Okay, so just at this point, just he can be sworn in at this point, and then we can call you up after we've heard from staff, okay?
Okay, can you say your name again, please, sir?
Carl Lottenslager.
Can you spell that for me, please?
L-A-U. D-E-N-S-L-A-G-E-R. First name, Kate. Carl,
okay. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you. You can have a seat.
All right. Mr. Jackson.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this case is before you for a determination for imposition of a fine. The inspector is Tom Clegg. This is a project where the violation was failure to maintain a window, was broken windows since October of 2016. The permit was finally issued in March, on March 14th, but even after the issuance of the permit, no work has been done yet. At this point, the only thing the staff can do is ask for a fine to be imposed for a failure to maintain. Mr. Cleek is requesting a fine of $250 per day to a maximum of $15,000. I tend to Mr. Cleek for further factual information on what he knows on why.
Okay, good. No, I have some questions.
Forward.
Okay. I hope that's on TV.
Tom Clegg, code enforcement, I'm sorry, neighborhood service inspector. My credentials are on file. The permit was issued. He's got garbage bags on the window, and he's never finished it, and I don't know if he has some contact with me. Have no contact with him probably once in the last 2 years. And so he's
is anyone living there?
Yes.
Oh.
People upstairs, yes.
Okay, hold on. Okay.
And originally I was told that the tenants broke the windows out because they wanted a reduction in rent, which was, you know, non-confirmable. So.
Okay. All right. Now, neighbor is here, Mr. Wanslager. Would you care to testify?
I'm very eager.
Okay.
He does have current pictures of the upstairs, but there's been a window that's been broken out on A1A, and they just have an interior door leaned up against it. It's been that way since probably almost a year. Also, there's pictures of the other windows that are broken. The pile of trash has been out front for over two months. You know, fortunately, Tom has come and helped clean up, help them, you know, get on the ball and clean up some of that mess. But there's a couple that are living upstairs with the garbage bags on the windows, and when the wind blows, it just flaps around. I don't even know how they can stay there. He's been by maybe three times since, I'd say since February, to mow the yard, and I do believe that he has put one window in, one of the small windows in. But other than that, we have not seen him.
What is the name of the ambassador?
The ambassador's name is Robert Olson. He's the owner of the property.
Okay.
And I can say it, but the neighbors and the homeless were just, we've had with it. We're over it.
Okay. All right. Any comments?
May I just for the record?
Sure.
Thank you.
Any comments from the board?
I'd like to know if you checked to see if they had a renter's permit.
That would be staff
4
a BTR.
The rental license and the business tax receipt is your question?
Yes, please.
Okay, I don't know if Mr. Arkley just looked into that.
We should just give him the mic.
Yeah. It was current, but it needs a re-inspection plus, you know, violation. So to answer your question, it's got an active BTR, but no RTL right
now. Okay.
So they will decide to do that.
Okay.
Mr. Olson, he lives in the area, or is he out of town?
He lives on Braddock. He's on the east side, probably 2 miles, 2 miles south of the property. He also owns another four-unit apartment in Ocala. It's in about the same position.
Any other comments?
So Mr. Cleek, the downstairs is vacant, right?
They are now.
Okay.
Does he own the multi-family property on Braddock that we've had problems with in the past?
I don't believe so. Unless it's a duplex. I think it was originally a duplex. I forget okay. what the address is, but I don't think that's a problem.
Okay,
there,
thank you.
There has been problems there.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a no. He doesn't.
Right. Yeah. What? All right.
I'd like to move that we accept the city's recommendation of a $250 a day fine.
Six. All right. We have a motion from Mr. Harrington. And do you want me to read that into the record a little?
Yeah.
Effective today. A motion made by Mr. Harrington to impose a fine of $250 per day up to the maximum of $15,000 starting today, April 13th. Motion.
I second.
I think we have a motion by Mr. Harrington and second by Mrs. Himes originally.
Okay.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Like, sign opposed. Motion carries. All right. Six. Seven is in compliance. Eight is in compliance. So we're on nine, the last of the old cases. CEB 0217-09 Bella Vita Estates at 923 North Beach Street. Is anyone present for this case? Please come forward.
Good morning.
Good morning. Please state your name and address for the record and be sworn in.
Sure. My name is George Eileen and I'm at 921 North Beach Street. Raise your right hand, please, sir. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you have provided is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? I do. Thank you.
Okay, please have a seat, and we'll hear from staff.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is before you for imposition of a fine. This is a case that started in January of 2017. The city has been working with the respondent has been moving forward and accomplishing what has been a desire. There is a specific request from the city, specifically from the redevelopment director, Reed Berger, that we provide an amendment and allow for compliance at the next cutoff as they continue to work out the a move. If you may recall, there was the necessity for them to either stop the day labor service or move to a different location, and they've been working on this move to another location, and that's not completely resolved at this point. I don't know if you have a copy of that letter. If you don't, I'll be
happy. No, I don't think we do.
Okay. It's a letter dated March 31st, 2016 for George
Eiley.
Then Mr. Ali, this letter confirms my conversation with Mr. Eagle of labor findings requesting a 30-day extension to relocate his business to another location outside the redevelopment area. He has stated that he could not get a zoning approval letter for his new location in a timely manner due to a delay in getting an address assignment for the new space. I believe Mr. Eagle's request for a 30-day extension is reasonable, and I have requested code enforcement to recommend the extension at the next hearing scheduled for April 5th. If you have any questions concerning this matter, please call me. Sincerely, Reed Berger.
Okay, that was okay. All right. I have some questions. The person that's providing the day labor service or the company is a tenant of Bella Vita Estates.
Madam Chair, Mr. Berger is here.
Would you like to come up and tell us what you know, Mr. Berger?
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you today?
Raise your hand, please. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Thank you. All right. So what I want to know is the person that is providing the day labor service in this building is a tenant of Bella Vita Estates.
Yes, that's my our understanding is they are leasing the property.
Okay.
Bella Vita Estates is the owner of the
site. Right. Correct. All right. And Mr. Ely is the manager of the estate, and this is his tenant. How long has the tenant been there doing this?
I don't have that information. I'm thinking that was about at least the last 6 or more months that they've been at least.
Okay.
So what you're saying, they were doing this for 3 months before code was notified?
Well, again, I can't speak with any specificity about exactly when they got there. I don't have that information in front of me.
Okay, yeah. That's okay.
Well, would the manager would have it.
Yeah, I would think somebody else.
Right. Okay, so we'll ask him that. No, wait, just wait. We'll get to you. How was this? Okay, thank you. How was this complaint first brought to your attention, code, Mr. Jackson or Mr. Fitzgerald?
Good morning, Michael Fitzgerald, City of Daytona Beach Code Enforcement. My credentials are on file with the city. The complaint came in from redevelopment.
From the redevelopment board?
From
redevelopment department. Okay. Okay. And do you know how this was just, you were just made aware of this, or did you see this activity going on? You saw this activity going on.
We saw the activity going on. They moved into the location with a permit, thinking that it was okay to be there.
What kind of permit?
A permit to do business there.
To do business as a day labor service?
That's what it said on the...
Okay. I mean, I'm just asking. Okay. Huh.
So a permit was issued for a business that's not zoned for that. So are you saying that
so after that,
zoning
explain that to them.
People do not check out the district that they're going into to see if that's a qualified business?
They were going in as a labor service.
Okay, yeah. Let's get this squared away.
Yeah, so we can just kind of make sure we're on the right track. I remember seeing some dialogue, and I believe that probably Mr. Berger will be able to address it better in terms of the kind of questions you're asking regarding how the zoning occurred and the approval occurred and why they have to move. I think we kind of talked about it a little bit at the beginning, but I know it's been quite a while.
I understand why they have to move. I don't understand how they got in there.
Okay. Let's go from the beginning with Mr. Berger and let him explain.
Okay. Go ahead.
All right. Yes. It began with a discovery and a complaint that we received. I think it was anonymous, but we got a call that something was going on with a bunch of people hanging out.
Okay.
And in any case, went and looked at the tracking system where we had the licensing,
mm-hmm.
and the business tax receipt. There was an approval, and in that approval, it said it was an employment office. Okay, that is a permitted use in that district. So I went back and asked the persons that approved it, how did they come to that conclusion? Because when I looked on the website, what I found was that this was really a day labor. No one had gone back and looked at a website and done any further checking. Took everyone at their word that it was an employment agency, not that it was day labor. So upon further investigation by myself, that's when I issued the complaint to code enforcement and said, we got a different situation, and tried to rectify this because, again, when you first find a decision and it's very fresh and recent, you try to go back and undo that, and that needs the cooperation of all parties. And quite frankly, through this, that's what I received. There's a lot of cooperation.
Mr. Berger, what's your recommendation?
My recommendation is to allow an extension, because that's they're in the other building trying to get it ready to move. So they're doing everything they can and moving forward in a very expeditious manner to the extent they can to get it out of the building. And I think everyone has been very patient through the process, including our sister city in Holly Hill, and they are right across the street, so they have a lot of concerns as well. And so we've a new business there that would love to see the change on what's going on in the visibility. But I think we have a good property owner here. I think we have everyone that's well-meaning, well-intentioned, and this is just simply coming to its final resolution. Just give them a month. I think they'll handle everything.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mr. Eiley, would you like to say something?
Madam Chair, I don't have anything else. It's just the process that it happened is just, you know, their name is Labor Finders. And when you go with the name Labor Finders to apply for an employment agency, it's kind of, you know, arise question marks. But anyway, I hope they will be moving like they promised. And as a matter of fact,
would you like to come up and testify, sir?
The
issue of what the rating season is really not our issue. Why they made the mistake, they didn't make the mistake. I think at this point, the question of whether we want to give them the time or not.
Well, to determine whether or not we want to give the time, I want to see what the intentions are. So come forward, please. I'd like to hear from you. Okay.
Paul Bedoin.
Can you spell your last name for me, please?
B-E-A-U-D-O-I-N.
Raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
All right. So you are in the process of moving to another location.
Yes, ma'am.
And can you tell me at what point you think you will be finished with this process of moving?
I was told that it is going to be the last Friday of this month. So we'll have like a week.
Then who told you that?
The contractor.
The contractor, yes. Who's working on the building to prepare it for you.
Right.
Okay.
Mr. Bredon, how long have you all been there at the present spot? How long are you there?
I believe we moved in the middle of October.
Are you still working day labors out of your place?
Yes, we have never been as busy as we are right now in the history of labor finders, and that's why maybe we've got the complaints that there's people there.
All right. Thank you very much. Are there any other comments from the board? All right. Under the circumstances, I think that what I'd like to do is entertain a motion to amend the previous order of noncompliance and allow the respondent until, is that May 5th, our next meeting, or the cutoff date? May 3rd, to come into compliance or be returned to a subsequent meeting for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day until compliance is achieved. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Second. All right. A motion, Mr. Smart. Second, Mrs. Himes. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. Good. All right. So we're hoping this comes true. All right, now we'll move on to our new cases. And first one is case number 10, CEB04-17-15, Norman H. Riley. Would come forward, please. Please state your name and address for the record and be sworn in and what your relationship is to Mr. Riley.
My name is Kelly Riley. My parents own the property, Norman and Rosalie. And I live at 1132 Michael Park.
Can you raise your hand, please? Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Okay. All right, Mr. Jackson.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this property is before you for determination of compliance or non-compliance.
The inspector is Michael Fitzgerald. Mr. Fitzgerald says that he's had no contact with the owner, but he knows that there's been no changes since he's first sighted the property. He has no knowledge of any changes, so the noted violation still exists. He's asking them to make a finding of noncompliance and allow the respondent until next cutoff to come into compliance. And I tend to Mr. Fitzgerald if you have any facts for this.
Okay.
Request any additional factual information.
All right. Mr. Fitzgerald, do you have anything else to tell us?
Oh.
No, ma'am.
Okay. So there seem to be a lot of code violations at this property, all right? Ms. Riley?
Yes.
Good morning.
Good morning. I guess this goes back to 2011. My dad let...
To when?
2011. We let somebody live there for free, and he has basically torn the house up. I want to show you pictures of what it looked like when he lived in. And my dad died September 2nd.
Sorry.
And so my mom and I are kind of...
It's okay. Take your time.
It's a lot to take care of. And we're not confrontational. And James is confrontational. But God lives there. And I told him that he needed to leave. And he told me that he has wife's rights and that he's going to fight it. So, like I said, non-confrontational, don't like a fight, haven't been around there. You give me 10 days, I'll give you results, because this isn't something that we did. I have a little part-time job, but I think I can clean it.
Okay.
And we did. I had to show you that we did try to sell the property.
Okay.
I can prove it. We were supposed to close the day that we got the letter from the city. That's it. We want out. We want out. And my mom told my dad, you know, he had 6 months from the time he had his heart attack, and so he passed. She told him, "No, you cannot leave me with this stuff." But that's what's happened. So. We were supposed to close on the 16th. We signed a contract. I think on the 27th.
Of what month?
December.
Okay.
And we were motivated. I mean, we were practically giving the house away for $21,000. Two houses on the lot. We went out. And they moved it back to March 2nd, the closing. And then on March 9th, they sent us a cancellation of contract because they had trouble with the title. So if we had clear title, I would be here.
Yeah, just okay.
And, yeah. So we want out, but in the meantime, since we can't do that, I'll do it. I mean, I have no trouble. Because I didn't want to be around there with him, you understand? Because he's hostile.
Okay.
And
so, Kim is the tenant.
James.
Yes. James is the tenant. And how long has James been there?
I think it's either 2011 or 2012.
Okay.
And I don't like the way it looks. You can see the way when I.
So you don't live there.
No.
You and your family don't live there. Did you ever? You once lived there. Did you ever once live there? No. This has always been income property.
It's empty for about 20 years before my dad.
Okay.
And he was a friend of a friend. He'd been in a terrible car. He'd been in a terrible motorcycle accident. He'd gone underneath a car.
Okay.
And he was homeless, and he needed some place to live. And
okay.
So my dad did him a courtesy. He's basically.
Okay.
What is your plan? You said you had a plan of some sort within 10 days. What are you going to do? You're going to hire people in to help you do that?
I don't really think I have the finances to do that, but I'm going to get the fence. I didn't know what was behind the fence. And I'm sure, I don't know if those pictures are from behind the fence or not,
but I've hated that fence since it got put in, you know, because it's in a rotten neighborhood. It's in a bad neighborhood. It's right at the corner of Seagrave and North Street. So if I put up a board fence, it's just going to get tagged, you know.
Repeated. Okay. All right.
So I just have to get the stuff out of there.
Okay. You know what you need to do. You need to fix code violations.
Yeah.
Okay. Mr. Jackson, what is staff's recommendation?
Madam Chair, staff is aware of some of these issues that she's raised in terms of the difficulty with the tenant, and we realize that that's a potential issue, and so we will take that into consideration, but we're asking at this time for her to bring it into compliance for next cutoff, and
okay.
If she has any problems with that, if she can keep in contact with the inspector, can work out whatever may be necessary if something else is necessary.
Okay, any comments from the board? All right, the chair will entertain a motion to find the respondent non-compliance and order the respondent to come into compliance by the next cutoff date, May 3rd, 2017, or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
Second.
All right, motion from Mrs. Heim, second from Mr. Smart. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like sign opposed. Motion carries. All right, let's see, where are we? We're at case number 11, CEB 04-17-16, Cotona Partners.
That was withdrawn.
Withdrawn.
Oh, sorry. Withdrawn. Okay. Can you explain maybe to the audience or to us what the difference is between withdrawn and compliant?
Yes, Madam Chair. Yes, Madam Chair, members of the board. When properties are brought before the code board, it's a staff decision based on the statute to make a determination of filing a notice of hearing. At that point, it's not the code board jurisdiction hasn't initiated until we actually have a hearing. And so when if there's some reason that something's resolved or some matter changes that causes the staff to make a decision not to proceed with a hearing, then the staff exercises that option to withdraw.
Okay.
Basically, the cases we have jurisdiction over those cases that are brought to us.
Correct.
They decide they don't want to bring the case to us. They withdraw the case. Takes away any jurisdiction we may have.
Okay. Thank you very much for the explanation. All right. Case number 12 is in compliance. Case number 13, CEB 04-17-18, Robert B. and Robert W. Hume, unmaintained and unsecured building at 712 North Wild Olive Avenue. Respondents present. Okay. All right, we'll hear from staff.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is before you for determination of compliance or noncompliance. The inspector is Juan Davis and... Denzel Sachs is handling that case in her absence, and he's the inspector that's been managing this case. Report from the inspectors that this is a vacant residence. There's been no communication from the respondent, and this is complaint generated. I do have a citizen neighbor who would like to be heard. The recommendation of staff, though, was for finding a noncompliance and for the property to be brought into compliance by next cutoff. Ms. Galantine's here, and
okay.
I think she'd like to be heard.
All right, first of all, can we hear from Mr. Sykes? What can you tell us about this property?
Good morning. My name is Denzel Sykes. My credentials are on file with the City of Daytona Beach. Prior to Inspector Davis going on vacation, I went and did an inspection with her. And at the time, the grass was high. There was trash and debris in the yard. And the structure was unsecured. And yesterday, I went back to do a re-inspection, and there was no change. Inspector Davis nor myself has had any communication with the property owner.
So they've been unresponsive.
Unresponsive, mm-hmm. Correct.
Okay.
To your knowledge, have there been any trespassing violations or police activity there?
Well, I think that the representative can speak better to that. She has some information for you.
Okay.
In regards to that.
All right. Thank you very much. Please come forward. State your name and address for the record. Be sworn in.
Anita Galantine, 836 North Grandview Avenue.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, not the truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do. I am one of the co-chairs of the Seabreeze University Neighborhood Group. This particular, at one time, beautiful estate home is in our neighborhood. It has been in disrepair for quite a few years. No one can even see what's going on in the backyard because everyone's afraid to go down the driveway. The Humes have not lived there for a long time, although there have been over 10 police calls to the property since July, some of those for trespassing, suspicious persons. So it's, you know, our neighborhood's pretty tight. A lot of us walk dogs, although I won't walk past the property with my dog because I don't feel it's safe. But we drive around the neighborhood, and we suspect there is at least one and possibly more people residing in the house. I don't believe the house has water or electricity. A few months ago, a code issue was filed because the front door was hanging off the hinges, where we believe someone had broken into the house and was living there. It's a shame because this home could be a beautiful, beautiful home, but it has been abandoned by the owners. It's not safe. It's certainly, the pictures do not do it justice on how bad it looks. It sits next to also a very wooded area on one side, which even adds to the appearance of this beautiful one-time home. I don't think the Humes are going to respond. I think the Humes are an older man and his son. I don't know where they live, but they certainly do not care about this property. And our neighborhood would like to see it addressed through code and through fines, and possibly even condemned if it continues deteriorating as much as it has been. Thank you.
Mr. Sykes, is the building secure now?
I walked up to the front door yesterday. Mm-hmm. It was locked.
It was locked.
Yeah, but I'm not sure about the rear.
Okay.
The
rear. There's no way for us to get to the rear of the property. Is that correct?
No.
Go ahead, Mr. Jackson.
Yes, ma'am, that's correct. Mm-hmm. At this point, we haven't had any contact with anyone that would give us that authorization, and we don't have any circumstance that would, at least to our knowledge at this point, that supports us, you know, roaming through the whole property.
Okay.
Did you, what form did we issue this summons to appear here? Did we mail it to the tax people? Somebody's paying the taxes.
Yeah, Ms. Hampton can check that. She typically will take care of that.
It was posted.
Okay, so
it was mailed to the address of record, but
it was also posted.
So we would have sent certified mail, and then we would have posted when we. So apparently, the certified mail came back.
The certified mail came.
Well,
back.
Let's get corrected here.
The green card didn't come back, but it shows it was signed for on the post office website.
Oh, okay. So interestingly, the certified mail, they did sign for it, but we hadn't gotten any responses, and we elected to post it as well.
I think the biggest issue is, are they local or out of state?
It's a local address. It's the same address, 712 North Wild Olive. That's according to the property.
Yeah, as the board is aware, it's the statute provides for us to, our point of notification is first last known address that's on the property appraiser's website, and if there's some additional address that we become aware of, then we, of course, would follow up with that as well.
Do you know if it's homestead, Tony, or not?
I do not. No. I don't know if that's in the file.
Homestead?
We can take
it.
It does look like they're getting the exemption, yes.
So at least according to
they're filing right now. They appear to be getting the exemption.
And they're not. And they're not living there.
Well,
somebody needs to let the property appraiser office know.
Understand.
Okay.
That is in the city's preview, you know, to notify the tax that they aren't, they're getting the homestead but not living there.
I believe Mr. Garcia is receiving that information and processing.
Wouldn't that have to be a legal matter?
I'm sorry?
Wouldn't that have to be a legal matter?
Not to just notify them. For us, it's just notification. And beyond that, it's a kind of. Did you want to speak to that?
Let me explain it. They would just give them the information, pass it on, and then they do their own investigation. Because it's a statute that covers this whole area, and it's a very punitive statute. And it's very expensive if you haven't been living there and taking the homestead exemption.
But in terms of its enforcement and the action at Ball County, but the notification, I think, is what you're asking for. And yes, we can be a part of that.
All right. Any other comments?
I'd like to ask the lady, when was the last time you saw the residents, Robert and Robert Hume?
When's the last time I saw the Humes?
Yes.
Never.
You've never seen them?
Never. Never.
And how long have you been looking at this property?
I've lived in the neighborhood for 24 years. Now, it is my understanding, although I never personally saw him, that Mr. Hume, the older man, the father, lived in the house several years ago and actually allowed a bunch of working night women to reside in the house. I guess because we're close to Seabreeze. I can't tell you, though, I saw that going on, but that was kind of the rumor that was flying around the neighborhood. I also checked on tax certificates to see if the house had gone into nobody's paying taxes, because I think it would be a home that people would be interested in buying and fixing. I noted that not 2016, but I think it was 2015, taxes were actually paid by a financial company. So I don't know if that's where their money is, but the taxes were late, but they were paid. So it wasn't paid by the Humes, because you can go online and see, you know, who's actually making those tax payments. I don't know about 2016 taxes.
All right. Any other questions? Comments? All right. The chair will entertain a motion to find the respondent in noncompliance and order the respondent to come into compliance by the next cutoff date, which is May 3rd, 2017, or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion by Mrs. House, second by Mr. Weatherholt. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like sign opposed. Motion carries. Thank you.
Madam Chairman?
Yeah, you have my permission.
We got a quorum. We're fine.
We still have a quorum. All right. We're going to move on. It would be case number 14, CEB 0417-20, Irvin White at 240 DeSoto Street. Is Mr. White here? The representative of his property here. Please come forward, be sworn in.
Good morning.
Can you
say your name, sir? Irvin White. Please raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I'll tell you the truth, I'm not going to swear.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll hear from staff and then I'll give you a chance to talk.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this case is before you for determination of compliance or noncompliance. The inspector in this case is Jerome McCoy. Mr. McCoy indicates that this property remains in noncompliance, and he's asking for next cutoff for the property to come into compliance. His notes indicate that the property has fire damage, and as you can see, it's a dilapidated structure that. Its best remedy probably is demolition, but we'll be interested in what Mr. White's plan and intent is on a property, but we are asking for it to be in compliance by next fall.
All right. Mr. McCoy, have you been in touch constantly with Mr. White, or what's the...
Good morning.
Good morning.
Neighborhood Service Inspector. My credentials are on file. Yes, I have been in contact with him.
Okay.
We actually spoke about 2 days ago, and he showed me some plans that he had, and he also told me that he filed for some permits, and he would be able to explain
okay.
to you the extent of the permits that he
had. Okay. All right. Mr. White, please come forward. Good morning.
Good morning.
What would you like to tell us?
I've been working on this plan, this project ever since it's happened. And with this hurricane coming along right after this happened, it's just throwed all the focus onto it.
What happened?
To this?
Yeah.
You lost me. Sorry.
Well, how did the property get in that condition is my question.
Well, living in there, it's just caught a fire.
It caught fire?
Yes.
Okay. When did the fire occur?
Sometime in, I believe, in October. I think it was October.
Okay. October fire. Before or after the hurricane?
Before.
Before the hurricane?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, we had chunks living in the place, and I had to relocate those people's. And after I got those relocated, then the hurricane came, and I had to relocate some more people and go by and do some more fixes up from the hurricane. So it gets actually put this backwards because wasn't no one living there. So I was trying to take care of the houses that the people was living in because we just couldn't find a place to relocate them. And the same tokens, I was working on getting someone to come out and do the plans for to do this job and to get it back refurbished. So at this point right now, I picked the plans up to remodel the place. Let me see them. Remodel the place, and it was in the process of now. I came down on the 4th to see about getting a permit. They told me I couldn't pull it myself. I had to get a contract. So that threw me back on a mission again to locate a contractor to do the job.
Let me see it.
Okay, let me ask you a question. You said that the tenants did a lot of damage to the property.
Well, they was living there when it caught fire.
And then you relocated them to
yes.
another to more of your property, even though they had done damage to this property.
Well, my heart says don't throw folks out when it's an accident.
The fire they had. Actually done no damage prior to that.
No.
Oh, okay.
No. One okay. had been there 15 years, another one had been there 7
okay.
years.
Okay.
And the fire department
I didn't understand that.
The fire department said it was a problem with the air conditioning that they had in the winter, so I didn't feel like they did me no harm.
Right.
It just was an accident.
Right. And how long a time frame are we looking at before this... So... Is this building going to be demolished?
No, ma'am. It's not going to be demolished.
Okay. Okay. How long a time frame are we looking at?
Well, if I can get the contract on board within the next 4 to 5 days, then we can go ahead and start work. Because I have most of the material I already bought to redo this. But I couldn't get the plans done because I had to wait till someone had time to go out and see the job.
Okay.
So since they gave me these, I'd have been to the trust company. So what my intention is, go there and do the work that needs to be done around the perimeter of the building and put the top back on it right away.
Okay.
The inside, I wouldn't be able to do that right away because I have other projects from the hurricane that I got to complete.
Okay.
But I will have the building looking much better than it looking now, but I couldn't do anything without these.
Mr. White.
Yes, ma'am.
Have you got your permits yet?
No, I don't have the permit card. When I went down on the 4th to apply for the permit, they said I had to hire a contractor to do it. I couldn't do it myself. So now I'm in the market of getting a contractor to give me a price on getting it done.
Okay.
In other words, the time is going to be up to basically the contract.
Yes, ma'am.
So I think might be a little more than that.
You know, one of the things I didn't see on the permit. I know it's architectural drawings, but I didn't see a stamp.
They said
I didn't notice.
There's a stamp on the bottom.
Is there? Now the structural walls. Oh, okay. I'm sorry, I missed that. the structural walls in the building, they're all structurally sound?
Well, we have a bedroom outside, exterior wall, and the front wall on the exterior got to be completely rebuilt because the fire was in the bedroom. Mm-hmm. And the rest of the walls on the inside of the house is good, but I'm going to redo one wall on the inside. So basically, put the roof back on the building, put windows in, fill in probably 10 feet of a side exterior wall. The whole front of the building, I want to redo that whole wall, and probably about 7 feet of the north side wall.
Because
the trusses on, then I had to go ahead and put the trusses on it, deck it out, and put the shingles back on it, and maybe stick some windows in it, and put the plywood back up so it won't look as bad as it looks now.
Because prior to construction, I'm not sure what the city's code is. You know, the state standards on structural is there has to be so many barren walls before it can be classified as a remodel. So that's something that I think that the city should look into. Not, and I'm taking your word for it that it is structurally sound to remodel, but there is a code on remodeling and demolition, especially on a fire. So I would suggest to the city that they look into the code on that. The building department would know right away whether it's suitable for remodeling versus demolition.
Also, I'd like to say again, Mr. White, keep repeating, I guess he's doing things himself, but this is going to be something based on the contractor, time and stuff, and I just...
Let me ask you another question. You're being cited for a junk vehicle on the property. Is that gone?
They was removed.
I'm just asking. Yes, I want to see how many of these things we can.
Yes.
Outside storage of junk and debris.
No, all that was cleaned up when he brought to my attention.
Okay. All right. Now, so does the
Mr. Bryan?
Oh, Mr. Bryan. So it is in a redevelopment area. Hello, Mr. Bryant. Good morning.
Good morning. Charles Bryant, Redevelopment Project Manager.
Do you swear or affirm that the testimony you both provided, the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
Yes, this property is located in the Midtown Redevelopment Area, mm-hmm. and all the plans and for this building to be refurbished will be coming through our department for review, so we will be taking a look at it.
Okay. You know, I think unless there are any further comments that maybe we could find the property in non-compliance and order of progress report. Does that as long as everything else is taken care of and you know just to, we need to keep tabs on this and. And I don't know that there are some definite rules and regulations about remodeling a single family. Is this a single family or a duplex, any kind of house? About how much money you can put into it after it's been, you know, destroyed or whatever. But we'll have to find all that out.
Mr. Bryant said everything will come through.
Right.
Him, so.
Yeah. So we have. I just think a progress report, probably finding it in noncompliance and ordering a progress report. Okay.
Put that in form of motion.
All right. I'll put it in form of the motion. Chair will entertain a motion to find the respondent in noncompliance and order a progress report at the next meeting. So, and do we want to set a compliance date at this time?
Well, I wouldn't think so because you don't have the time.
Not until next meeting.
What?
Probably not until next meeting.
All right.
See, you know.
So, progress report and determination of a compliance date set for May 11th.
Madam Chair, I think that's a good idea only because I just want you to know that the things that you said regarding the permitting, those are they're not being ignored. That's well understood, and typically
right.
that's something that's considered when we do have to look at rehabilitations. Or in this situation, it's really a rebuild, and it very well may be that Mr. White, I'm over. That Mr. White may be just trying to preserve the foundation so he can preserve some of his codes. But whatever the circumstance is,
I mean,
as you mentioned, even the circumstance regarding this percentage of those percentages are related to whether or not it becomes non-conforming and have to come to the current codes.
Right.
But there's no real restriction on him spending well above what he probably ought to spend if that's what he elects to do.
Right.
And rebuild something that should not be rebuilt, long as it's done in accordance with permits and codes.
Permits and codes and license.
And so those reviews from the redevelopment board, as well as the reviews from permits, will address and consider.
So it's got to go before the redevelopment board as well? No.
No.
Okay.
Or the redevelopment division, I'm sorry.
Just staff. It has to go to staff at redevelopment.
Any time a permit is issued in the redevelopment area, the project manager or the director has to review it.
Okay.
That's fine.
And so it makes a lot of sense for us to probably hold off on a compliance date at least 30 days. We'll have a better idea of what he'll be permitted to do.
Mm-hmm. All right. So the chair will entertain a motion to find the respondent noncompliance and order a progress report at the next meeting, at which point we will determine a compliance date.
You got a motion. Ms. House.
Ms. House made a motion.
I'll second.
Ms. Himes second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Yes.
Just so you know, it also has to be signed off by the building department.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll see what happens next month. So, good luck. Okay. All right. Let's go to case number 15-04-17-21 MHP Daytona Air. Is the respondent present? Please come forward.
Hello, I'm Jerry McCann. I'm the property manager for MHP Daytona Air LLC. I live at 10179 June Terrace.
Can you raise your hand, sir? Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
All right, we'll hear from staff first, and then I'll give you a chance to tell us what you'd like. All right, Mr. Jackson.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this cases before you for determination of compliance or noncompliance. The inspector is John Stinson. Mr. Stinson reports that this came to him as a tenant complaint. As a neighbor complaint, but a complaint. It was complaint generated, and that the items remain in noncompliance, and so he's asking that you make a finding of noncompliance and give the respondent until next cutoff to come into compliance.
I noticed that there are two first notifications. Could you explain that to the board, please?
I'll attend to Mr. Stinson and see.
All right, Mr. Stinson.
Good morning. John Stinson, code inspector. My qualifications are on file with the city. Yes, there are two respondents. Kathleen King owns the actual trailer itself, the physical trailer itself, and the MHP Daytona Air LLC actually owns the parcel that the trailer park is on. Since this case started, I found out that Ms. King is deceased. The gentleman for Daytona Air is in the process of getting possession of the trailer so he can actually affect to bring the trailer into compliance.
Excuse me. What is this second date? It's obviously not 10/25/17.
Oh. That's a typo. Okay. That's what I was looking for. Okay.
They were, if you want to know.
So both are 17. No, 16. 16. Both 16. Are 16.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Let's
16.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Any questions for code enforcement, for staff, from the board? All right, we'll hear from Mr. McCann.
Yeah, like you said, I think she's deceased. We're not sure or nothing, but I've got her records from she's not been there for 6 months. And we're not allowed to go inside the property or anything. I mean, the trailer itself. But we did go and clean up everything around it. I put in some new windows because I think some bums or whatever was trying to live in the place. But we got it all screwed shut. Nobody can enter the property anymore, hopefully. So I have to go.
So the property is secure at this point?
Yes.
Okay.
We cleaned it up.
So I have a question for legal, I guess. If the woman is deceased, there's probably record of that someplace? I mean, and then how does one proceed from that point?
That's what I
like to know. Usually it's a death certificate.
Right.
So that, and then there's a probate if there's a...
Right.
You need a probate. But this is a mobile home?
Yes, sir.
So it's probably not considered real property. It's considered personal property. It's like a car.
Right.
And they would have a creditor interest and, yeah, and all those things, but they'd probably have to get an attorney to advise them on
that
process.
We filed papers trying to...
Come up to the mic, please.
We filed paperwork to try to redeem to get the title so we can work and fix it back up.
So you've already filed those papers?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Ma'am.
When did you file those papers?
It's probably...
Yeah, I mean...
It's been maybe a month or so
ago. Okay.
Yeah, maybe longer than that. I'm not sure. I have to go through the office paperwork.
Okay.
So.
Do we know if there's an active probate at all? Could you just check our next meeting and see if there is?
You know, like we've tried. She, at first we were talking, and then she got where she wouldn't talk to us anymore. We was trying to, you know, say either catch up on the lot rent or come move your trailer or let us have the title or where we can take it over and fix it back up or whatever. She didn't want to have nothing to do with it. I think she had some kind of brain cancer.
Can I ask you a question? In this picture, it doesn't look like the building's secured.
We've done cleaned all of that.
So that's all been cleaned?
I put in new windows on the side.
Mr. Stenson, that's all been cleaned up?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Okay. All right. Any questions?
Yes, it's looking a lot better. We're still working. We go over there about every day.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't want it to be an eyesore either, trust me.
All right. Any other comments from the board? Is 30 days going to be enough to figure out all this legal maneuvering? What does staff recommend?
Not sure if that's practical. Don't know how far along he is. I think he says he's pretty much at this front end.
Yeah.
Don't know if there's someone that can appear and say, oh, everything's good. We're a family member and it's okay. So that's an answer that I don't know.
Right.
You might want to think about Rona's over there.
Yeah, I think the key is that he stays diligent in getting
it secure. Right. That's So it's secure and the property's cleaned up or on the outside.
Yes.
It seems like all right. What do you think, Mr. Jones?
Just had a question. How old is the trailer?
They're probably 40-50 years old.
Because there are rules now about tie down and stuff like that.
That's all been taken care of. Really, the people, they just rent our property. Uh-huh. They move the trailers in. I really can't do nothing to them.
Right.
You know, they have to tie into our sewers. We provide them a sewer tap and electric also, you know. And so they just tie on and they pay the lot rent a month, $300. You know.
So you'll take ownership of it?
We will try
to retire it into the land, basically.
If they let us have it, we're ready to go. I'll clean it up and let some new people move in.
Yeah, it takes a lot of time to do it. I've done some of these. You got to get it retired and made part of the land.
Yeah.
So 30 days wouldn't do it.
All right. Okay.
2 months.
All right. Any other comments? All right, the chair will entertain a motion to find respondent noncompliance and order the respondent to come into compliance by the May 31st 2017 cutoff date or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
All right. Mr. Smart made the motion. Mrs. Himes the second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like sign opposed. Motion carries. All right. Thank you. All right. Case number 16 is withdrawn. Case number 17. CEB 0417-23, Fred L. Bowman, 204 Pleasant Valley Drive, dilapidated pool enclosure. Mr. Bowman here?
Yes.
Okay. Good morning. Please state your name and address for the record and be sworn in.
Can you state your name, please, sir? Can you state your name into the microphone?
Fred L. Bowman.
Thank you. Can you raise your right hand, please? Right hand, sir. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Thank you.
Well, if you sit down, we're going to hear from staff, and then I will give you a chance. I'll give you a chance to talk after I hear from Mr. Jackson and Mr. Stenson, okay? Thank you.
Wrestling with this feedback issue. Madam Chair, members of the board, this case is before you for determination of compliance or noncompliance. The inspectors, John Stinson, Mr. Stinson, reports that in response to complaints from the Indigo Homeowners Association, he inspected and determined that this damaged pool enclosure from the storm. He has made contact with the respondent. No surprise, the respondent indicates that he's having challenges with getting a contractor to repair the damage. Nevertheless, it does need to be repaired, and so we're asking that he be found in non-compliance for the damage pool enclosure. No, it is not yet. So it had to be found in non-compliance, and that he be given until next cutoff to come into compliance. And of course, if for some reason he continues to have a problem, if he has that real documented, I'm sure y'all will take that into consideration.
But where exactly in the pool is the violation? It's hard to see.
It is hard to see. Is it the screen?
Is it high, below? Is it open?
I can't see. There's.
We need to know that's important. We need to know that.
Yes, sir. I'd have to tend to Mr. Stenson. As you know, unless they invite him back there, he's not really.
That's a crucial issue. We need to wear that from this.
Yes.
So that no one has access.
What if nobody has access?
I understand. Yes, sir.
Do they? No. Okay.
Well, I'll tend to Mr. Stinson for any of those factual questions, but what we're asking for is next cutoff to come into compliance.
Okay. Thank you. Mr. Stinson.
Yes. It looks like the majority of the damage is located just on the top of the enclosure. Okay. It doesn't look like the perimeter is damaged at all.
Okay. All right. Thank you. All right. Mr. Bowman. Go ahead. You can tell us about your pool.
All right. Yeah. I've kept everything up to date for 25 years. This is the first time I've had
this
a storm.
This is where you live, right?
Right.
Okay.
And I've had other storm damage, trees down, soffit blowout, and miscellaneous. I haven't had any problem getting them repaired. But there's very few people that do these pool enclosures. And I have a list here of about a dozen places that I called two or three times, left a message on the answering machine. They won't even return a call. I had one lady in Norman. She said, we're not taking any more. They had over 300 calls.
Mm-hmm.
So I found a few by searching around. And this one is 5 to 6 months. I have another one here. It's 5 to 6 months. And the last one I got, he was 8 to 9 months. So I'm not objecting on doing it. I'm going to do it as fast as I can get somebody over there.
Come do it.
Mm-hmm. Right. I have one other man. It's been taking 6 to 8 weeks to even get him to come by to do an estimate after you get him talk to him. So I have these three, and I have another man that just does repairs. He's supposed to call me next week. But I've searched repairs all the way down Port Orange mm-hmm. everywhere.
Yeah.
So I'm going to do it just as quick as I can find somebody.
Right.
Yeah, Mr. Name, sir?
Bowman. Mr. Bowman.
It's a lot better now than it was 3 months ago.
Yeah.
You can get people today. You just have to got to lose a little energy, and you got to just keep trying because you're right. When this thing started out, it was like 6 months to get anybody to come even give me the estimate. But if you keep looking, there are people. I had the same situation. I went to the safest away from my screen roof, and I got it fixed. I can't give you a first name, but I'd like to do that.
Mr.
But I'd say that you got to use a little persistence to get done.
Mr. Jones?
Yeah, I'm a neighbor of this gentleman. His home in the front yard and the side is immaculate, as is the neighborhood.
Yeah, I can see
that. I live just across, I have a listing right across the street from his property. From what I've talked to people, he is still correct. It doesn't take 2 months. It takes 4 to 5 months to get somebody to come. So as far as a neighbor walking the street, his home's immaculate, absolutely beautiful. We just give him the benefit of time to get somebody out there.
Yeah, I know. I mean, people are still just getting their roofs fixed now, let alone anything else. And I know that it's been an arduous process to get things fixed, to get insurance settlements and all of that. And I do see that the rest of your house looks beautiful. So I'm inclined to give him some time. I don't know how the rest of you feel.
With our attorney, because my friend just had hers done. Last months of time isn't...
It's better than it was. It really is.
It is a lot better.
And Madam Chair,
Madam Chair, if I may, just and don't want to beat one thorn, flies in the oil and the ointment. But I called someone last week and they were there. Now I had a small, and that's not the comparison. I'm not trying to do that. It was a small job. We don't know what it takes for such a big job like that. But I guess what I'm really saying is, it's a homeowner association complaint at this point. We gave it an issue notification in January. And so, obviously, I think understanding the patient of neighbors, and that's well appreciated. And we have the same patients because we understand that it does take a lot of work now to find someone. But we just want to make sure that it's encouraged that the press has to be to find someone and not, sit on the unfortunate difficulty of finding them. But the press still has to be on getting it taken care of and finding someone who can do the job. At least that's the staff's position.
Mm-hmm. Have you had an insurance claim on it?
Yes, but with hurricane damage, they pay a bare minimum.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
2%
to
damage.
So
the
deductible, right.
So you're
screwed.
Right.
Well,
I want to. I know what some people find things easier to get done than others in this big mess of the hurricane. I just want to give him enough time.
I think we should give him plenty of time. I have another listing up in Halifax Plantation. They can't get anybody even to come near their pool for 6 months.
So it's
a time issue.
Okay. So, do 2 months, 3 months, what is your pleasure? Or no? I want to hear from you so I know.
I would give him 4 months.
4 months. All right. You don't agree with that?
No, I don't.
Okay.
I think that, and I too have a neighbor that's been waiting for an extended period of time, and they got on it right away, and they still call.
Mm-hmm.
I think that we find him in non-compliance, and then give him 2 months to come back and to reevaluate it, see if he's got anything. Because with it being the homeowner's issue, it's before they bring any kind of legal action, find him in non-compliance and then let him come back and see if he's found anybody.
Yeah. All right, would you... I will then make a motion.
Ask for a motion.
Or maybe I should ask for a motion if somebody would like to make a motion.
I'll make a motion for 2 months.
All right.
Come in.
All right, we have a motion by Mr. Weatherholtz and a second by Mrs. Himes. And the motion is to find the respondent noncompliance and order the respondent to come into compliance by the May 31st cutoff date or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion? Oh, I'm sorry. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Yes. We have a, yeah. Okay. All in favor say aye. Again, sorry. Like, sign, opposed. All right. So motion carries. All right. So we will see you back here in 2 months to see what progress has been made.
All right.
Hopefully you will have contracted somebody by then.
Right. So that will be...
By May 31st.
The meeting date is June 8th.
May
31st?
June 8th?
June 8th is the meeting date.
Right. I still have another man that's been been busy, and he can't get by there until next week. And they were speaking of the homeowners. The lady that runs the homeowners association, she said there was no complaints from... she didn't know who from her because she said she had damage, and it took her over 5 months just for a minor repair and spring. So I said, well, I'm still working on mine.
Okay.
Right. Well, just keep talking, Manny. Keep a record of everything you do, okay?
Right.
That would really help us.
Yeah, I'll have it just as quick as I can get it.
Please,
yeah,
I really have it.
Thank you.
If I can, it would be helpful to keep the inspector updated, and then he'll be able to continue to work with you and be able to explain.
Right. Yeah, I have his letter and everything.
Okay. All right, let's move on to case number 18, CEB 04-17-24, Gary D. and Vicki Arledge at 125 Point of Woods. Respondents present? Please come forward and be sworn in.
Good morning.
Can you
say your name,
sir?
Gary Arledge, 125 Point of Woods.
Raise your right hand, please. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you have provided is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, let us hear from staff first, and then we will let you speak.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is before you for determination of compliance or noncompliance. The inspector is John Stinson. This is a property that where notification, first notification was given in January. Similar situation, a complaint from the Homeowners Association. And I said January, I know, see, we have noted, actually February 3rd was the first notification. The complaints from the Homeowners Association, they're in Indigo. This is a property that is in disrepair as a result of the hurricane. A dilapidated fence around the property. The inspector requests that the property be found in noncompliance and that the respondent be given until next cutoff to come into compliance.
Okay.
And I turn to Inspector John Stinson.
Okay, anything further, Mr. Stinson?
Nothing further.
Okay.
Mr. Jackson pretty much covered everything. It's just a small section of fencing on the side of his house that still needs to be repaired. Correct.
That fencing needs to go back up, is that, or this is new fencing? What?
Well, he had adjoining fencings with his neighbor.
Okay.
The neighbor has, since this happened, the neighbor had replaced their fencing. He couldn't replace or repair his until they were done, so now they're done, and
okay.
He finally now has the opportunity to get his.
Okay, and so those are the boards that are going to be put up there.
I could only assume
that. Well, okay, we'll assume that. Okay, we'll hear from him. I'll ask him that. Thank you.
Okay.
All right, Mr. Arledge.
Yes.
Good morning.
Good morning. Actually, yes, the neighbor's fence, the good panels that were salvageable, I had intentions. She gave them to me to use to replace my portion.
Uh-huh.
Because I really wasn't wanting to put out the price of what the estimates were. But I have salvaged some of those. Those panels were just set over there by the people doing hairpins so that I could take the good boards off of them. I have gotten rid of probably 90% of that as of now. By, you know, taking those apart, I continued yesterday. I have since decided to do all three panels and a double gate on that side, and have purchased that material. I'm going to be replacing it with the PVC sections on that side.
Okay.
Rather than the wood, and doing it myself.
Okay.
So I would like to have the only thing is I work. In fact, I work tonight until I do a lot of closes, so I'll be working until 11 p.m. tonight. I'll be off tomorrow, and that's kind of my schedule. So when I am off, sometimes I only can work on something a half day because of coming in at 11, 12 p.m. and then sleeping in. So until I'm capable to do some work on it, I have the material, as I said, and believe me, if I had the money to do it, I would have a whole new fence. So, I mean, I would love to have. That's one of the reasons why we decided to go with a much cleaner looking PVC to replace that section.
Okay.
And going forward, eventually doing additional. But
Mr. Spencer.
So anyway.
Okay. Thank you. Mr. Harrington?
I would like to request, because I'm having to do it by myself, relying on a friend who's on vacation right now, be back in another week for help. I would like to request 2 months to get, even though I have the material, to get those three sections plus a double gate put up.
All right. Mr. Harrington, what was your question?
Any permits needed for this work?
No permits are going to be needed for this. It's less than 50% of the entire fencing.
Mr. Stetson, when was the last picture? Is that your last?
My last picture was yesterday.
There it is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm just going to make the comment that I don't see this as the same case as the previous case where we left an extended amount of time, because we're not dealing with contractors, and it is stated that respondent has stated that he's doing the work himself. So I'd be comfortable entertaining a motion for finding noncompliance and fixing by the next cutoff date. Let me know your feelings.
I mean, this is just a fence in a nice neighborhood. I mean, I think we should give him the benefit of the doubt and give him the 2 months to do it. He works till midnight or later. There's, I don't think, any extenuating circumstances that we shouldn't be able to help him.
Okay.
Is that a motion?
Yes.
Okay.
I'll second it.
All right. So let me restate. Mr. Weatherholtz? Yeah?
Yes. Okay. I'm second to it.
All right, so let me restate the motion, which is a motion to find respondent noncompliance and order the respondent to come into compliance by the May 31st cutoff date or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day. Mr. Jones made the motion. Mr. Weatherholt seconded the motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Like sign opposed. Motion carries. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
So there will not this be a reinspection?
Yeah, you stay in touch with Mr. Stenson and let him know when you're finished and he can come out.
Madam Chair, is it possible,
yes.
And I know we only have a few, I don't know if we want to call those, but if we can take a brief break. I need at least 5 minutes.
All right.
I can wait if we want to take care of these next couple of
people that are here.
Here.
Yeah, we'll take the people that are here, and then We'll take a break. I mean, is anyone here for a case? All right, please come forward and tell me what case it is, and we'll go to that case, and we'll get that done. All right. Okay, and someone else would. So we can just move through these pretty quickly. Oh dear. Okay, so you don't need to be here. All right. We'll do case number 26 then. CEB 04-17-33, Villa Jardine. Were you sworn in?
No.
Okay, let's state your name and address, please.
Denise Garrett, 1910 Williston Drive West, Jacksonville, Florida. And I am the regional manager for the management company.
Okay.
Raise
your right hand,
please. Do you solemnly swear to affirm that the testimony you must provide is the truth, and nothing but the truth? Yes.
All right. Case number 26, I just want to read this in, 04-17-33, if we didn't do that. All right. Mr. Jackson.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this case is before you for determination of compliance or noncompliance. The inspector is Danny Garcia. This is a property that needs the items indicated, needs some repair. It's rental. It's rental unit. Mr. Garcia indicates he's had communication with the management, and they plan to repair it. And so I see a note here that says that the tenant said they're leaving the unit, but I'm sure we can hear from management on what's the status of that and that the repairs can be made. So the staff is requesting that there be a finding of noncompliance and that the respond to be given until next cutoff to come into compliance. And again, Mr.
I don't see.
I see it's the inspector.
And is he here?
He's not here. I don't see
him.
Danny.
But I'm sure Mr. Hector Garcia can speak to any issues or give us our best as his best response.
Yeah. Okay, is this a single family residence?
No, this is multifamily. It does have an HOA on it. We are the majority owner. It's 58 units. We are in the process of doing full renovations. We've already started and renovated, I believe, 32 units there. It was a distressed property that my owner purchased, and we are cleaning it up. And since this 121 Oak Tree, he was a resident. We did release him from the lease agreement, refunded his security deposit, so it is a vacant unit at the moment, and it's on the next schedule of 5 units to be rehabbed.
How long do you suspect it will take you to rehab this?
30, 45 days.
Okay.
How many units are occupied that you're still renovating?
Right now we have 20 total vacant units. And those 20 do need to be rehabbed. We have a set of 5 coming up probably in the next week or two that's going to begin.
What I'm asking you, do you have any units rented that would come under this violation?
No.
None of the...
They're all vacant is what I'm saying. Okay. Let me see. So how long have you been managing these 32 units, your group?
No, it's 58 units.
Oh, 58 units.
Right.
Okay.
We purchased the property. He got it in the end of November of 2015. And when we arrived on the property, there was numerous violations. And we worked cleaning all those up. Then they started the rehab process. The T111 boarding was bad, subfloor sinking. The previous owners had 3-inch ceramic tile on pressed wood floors. Floors were caving in. It was a mess. So this property, I'm sure Danny can probably attest to this property looks a million times better than what it did look like before we
fixed it. Yeah, I would like to hear from you, Danny, please.
I would. Good morning. Code Enforcement Garcia, Inspector. My credentials are on file. As she stated, it has come a long way. They have been through many change of hands and ownerships, and they are doing a lot of individually renovations in each unit. This unit, this particular unit, I was in there yesterday, and they haven't done anything, but the only change is that the property's vacant, the tenants are out. They had an issue with the tenants and tried to get them relocated so they can do the work and was unable to. So I think recently they had gotten them out, so now they plan on doing it. There's also another one across from it I have a case on, and that one was very extensive. It was a police matter. Actually, Officer Jesmer was called out there, and I believe there was a deceased person, and they're really working on that one, so I think that was taking up more a lot of the time.
So, okay. Officer, there are units that are occupied that are under.
Yes, that's correct.
So they're not all vacant.
That they're working on? Is that your question?
That need to be worked on or may be working.
Right. Oh, I'm only aware of one at the time, plus this one, too.
So there's two.
I think I understand what you're saying or you're asking. I don't think we specifically identified a unit in the, at least they're on the agenda. And so your question is, what he's citing right now, what he's bringing before the board, is this multiple units or is it just the one unit?
Right.
Is that correct? Okay, Danny, if you can speak to that. Are you talking about multiple units or one unit?
No, this is just one unit.
Okay, that's what's before us. This one unit. Okay.
How was the complaint generated?
It was generated by the tenants, but it wasn't actually the tenant. It was the tenant's, I believe, father or father-in-law, because the tenant was living there with the mother.
All right.
What you are saying, though, is that they are on this particular unit.
Yes.
It is, no one is in it.
That's correct. It's vacant.
It's being repaired.
It's going to be renovated.
Okay.
Yeah, they haven't started yet because I was in there yesterday and I didn't see any.
Okay. All right. And your recommendation is noncompliance next cutoff date?
Correct.
Okay.
One other thing, I don't know if Mr. What's his name, Garcia? I know I had another. I didn't know if Mr. Garcia knows this answer with the management, but perhaps on this violation we want to clarify and amend to indicate the unit that we're specifically citing here. So, you know, which unit that is by number or letter?
I think it's by address. Is it by address? 121.
Yeah, that's correct.
Right.
So each one has its own independent address.
Okay. Right.
Then that solves it. Thank you.
All right. The chair will entertain a motion to find respondent in noncompliance in order the respondent come into compliance by the next cutoff date, which is May 3rd, 2017, or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
All right. Motion by Mrs. Heim, second by Mr. Smart. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. All right. Now, I don't think there is no one else here. We're taking a break now.
Yes.
All right. 5-minute break. We'll see you back here before 11, about 10:55. Back to order again at 11:02. We're going to work on case number 19, CEB04-17-25. Respondents not present. I don't see any respondents, so we'll just move through these by listening to code staff. All right, Mr. Jackson.
Madam Chair, I apologize. You stated which one we were starting with, and I was
19.
Number 19.
Okay. Yes.
Okay, number 19 is before you for determination of compliance or noncompliance. The inspector is Jerry Sanders. Mr. Sanders indicates, just has noted that this is an issue of a dirty pool. The property is in... trying to go by memory, I'll pull us in a moment, but I believe it, I'm correct in saying that I know there were other violations that I believe have been worked on and maybe even remedied, but there's still this pool situation. But in any sense, we're asking for a finding of noncompliance and for the property to be brought into compliance by next cutoff. I tend to Mr. Sanders to address this, you know, any factual concerns you may have.
Okay. All right, Mr. Sanders. Has there been any progress? Good morning.
Good morning.
I don't think you've been here yet.
Yes. Jerry Sanders, City of Daytona Neighborhood Services. My credentials are on file. The only progress, you see the fence laying down right there. It has been repaired and put back up. That was my only clear line of sight to the pool. The trash around the property has been cleaned up since. I had communication with the owner until 1-6-2017, and she just stopped communicating with me for some reason. She assured me that she was going to get the pool cleaned and call for an inspection to, you know, close this case out, and that's the last I heard. Now that the fence is up, I can't go take a picture over the fence. So I don't know what she's done, where she's at, so that's why I'm asking.
Is someone living? Is she living there?
She said her son is, but every time I go by there, I try to knock on the door. I even posted the property, you know, for the hearing, okay. And no response.
All right. Any questions from the board?
You think the creature from the Black Lagoon got her?
Can the city get a drone and fly over stuff like
no.
that?
No. I don't think it would be admissible.
City How about an helicopter?
The city has many drones.
So the fence was repaired.
Yes, sir. The fence was repaired.
So there's
so the pool is secure, basically.
That's my next question.
The pool is secure.
Okay.
As of the fence being up, but
yeah,
as far as being clean, the pool has not been taken care of.
Okay.
Include the fence.
Move the question.
All right. Chair will entertain a motion to find respondent noncompliance and order the respondent to come into compliance by the next cutoff date, May 3rd, 2017, or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day. Such a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Motion, Mrs. Heim. Second, Mr. Harrington. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. All right. Case number 20, CEB04-17-26. Peter J. Wakeman and Dick Singler. They're not here.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is before you for compliance or noncompliance. Jerry Sanders is the inspector. He's had no contact from the respondent, at least as of our last communication regarding the case. One thing that's different in the violation is that the property is now secured, I think, by the city's actions, but it remains in noncompliance. Next cutoff to bring it into compliance. I tend to Mr. Sanders for any factual questions.
Okay. Any questions for Mr. Sanders from the board?
Move the question.
All right. The chair will entertain a motion to find respondent noncompliance and order the respondent come into compliance by next cutoff date, May 3rd, 2017, or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day.
So moved.
Second. All right. Motion, Mr. Smart. Second, Mr. Jones. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. All right, case number 21, CEB04-17-27, FC Resi 1.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is before you for compliance or noncompliance. The inspector is Jerry Sanders. This property remains in noncompliance. Mr. Sanders indicates he hasn't had any contact from the respondent. This is an occupied rental. And as I said, it remains in noncompliance, and we're asking for next call for them to come into compliance, and I tend to Mr. Sanders.
Okay. May I see the pictures again, Mr. Reckonzon? We have no pictures? Mr. Sanders.
There was probably a problem loading those pictures because our road drive was, that was my fault.
Okay.
But the pictures show just roof damage and... upon inspection, the renter come out and ask her if she was the homeowner, and she admitted she was the renter. So that's where I got them on the rental license.
Okay.
There's no pool?
Not on this one.
Okay.
There's no pool on this one. It's okay. Just rental license, minor code issues, and no BTO.
Are we going to need two motions here? One for the... to find them in...
I would like to ask how it was generated, the complaint.
I was riding by and saw the damage.
Okay.
Well, the question was, will we need two motions, one for the rental license, or should we make that...
put them
one motion.
Okay.
Let's move the question.
All right. The chair will entertain a motion to find respondent non-compliance or respondent come into compliance by the next cutoff date, May 3rd, 2017, or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day, and further moves that the respondent pay a one-time administration fee of $250 for a BTR.
So move.
All right. Wait a minute.
Right.
I see the question on your face, and I'm wondering if we do that next time or we do that this time.
Correct, Madam Chair. That's usually our language for the point of sanction.
Okay.
At this point,
we're not sanctioning at this point, so we don't need to.
Or be returned for $1,000 a day plus.
Okay, or be, all right. For consideration of a one-time $250 administrative fee for a BTR. Is there such a motion?
So
second.
Motion, Mr. Smart. Second, Mrs. House. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right, like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. All right. Case number 22, CEB 04-17-28, Sean Holmes and Pamela Candill. Right. What can you tell us?
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is before you for compliance and non-compliance. The inspector is Jerry Sanders. This property remains in non-compliance. Mr. Sanders indicates he's had no contact from the respondents, and he's called, left messages, even certified mail was returned, but in any sense, it's in non-compliance. I believe the information, he had information of an owner possibly, and I believe it was Ohio, whom he tried to contact, but with no avail. The property is in non-compliance. He's asking for next cutoff for it to come into compliance.
The property is not occupied? Okay, look.
Mr.
Sanders. Is the property occupied?
At this time, no. The property's been secured.
Okay, secured and unoccupied. Okay. Any other questions for Mr. Sanders? All right. The chair will entertain a motion to find respondent non-compliance and order the respondent to come into compliance by the next cutoff date, May 3rd, 2017, or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion, Mrs. House. Second, Mr. Harrington. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. All right. Move on to case number 23. 04 CEB 04-17-29, Here's to Now LLC. All right. What can you tell us, Mr. Jackson?
Madam Chair, members of the board, this property is before you for determination of compliance or non-compliance. As you will see, there's several properties by the same owner. Boys will have the exact same circumstance. The inspector is Jerry Sanders. Mrs. Sanders indicates he's had no contact from the respondent. The respondent did make contact with the licensing division back in September and was told he had to get license and BTR for this residential leases. I mean, for these residential uses that he intended. At this point, that hasn't been done. So the property remains in non-compliance. The inspector asks that you make a finding of non-compliance and give the respondent until next cutoff to come into compliance.
Okay.
Who is the owner?
Here's to Now LLC.
Yeah, but that's just a LLC.
I don't know that we have. Do we have a name to go along with that?
I have a first name. His name is Tad.
Tad.
He has his application.
So he's the representative for the LLC.
Yes,
okay.
And the applications were put in September, and he's just never followed through with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was made aware of it.
Okay.
Next week.
How were you made aware of all this?
Via email through permits and license.
Okay. All right. All right. The chair will entertain a motion to find respondent non-compliance and/or respondent come into compliance by the next cutoff date, May 3rd, 2017, and further orders that the LLC get a rental license and a BTR be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day and a one-time fine of $200.
No
BTR.
No BTR.
Oh, there's no BTR. I thought he said he didn't have a BTR as well. But that's not what's written in here, right?
Correct.
Okay.
You did say that, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Just checking. All right. It's just going to be $1,000 per day. Consideration of a fine. Of up to $1,000 per day.
And that is the maximum.
Yeah, that's the maximum we can do.
Madam Chair, I see Mr. Harrington's with a question mark on his face.
Mm-hmm.
I mentioned business tax receipt, but they were not cited for that. They're only cited for the no rental license.
Right.
Are they rented?
If they have no rental license, we can fine them the $250.
Mm-hmm.
No. It just goes.
That's the BTR.
Yeah, that's just the BTR.
So we
they
can charge them $1,000 a day.
It's a different ordinance.
Right.
Okay. What is that ordinance?
The RTL is the
I
rental.
I understand what it is. It's $1,000 a day to where?
Like every other
code violations.
Code violation. So up to $1,000 per day to a maximum of, since it's rental property, to a maximum of $15,000.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
Are all of these three rental properties rented?
Okay, I'd have to tend to make a sense.
I rode by and there's cars there. I didn't knock on the doors, but I assume there's people living there in all three properties.
So it's occupied.
I think it would be useful to get the name of the management. The actual name of the manager there. I've got this concern. Somebody's going to get a fine for up to $15,000 that isn't the property owner and doesn't know about this, perhaps.
Yeah, recognizing that it's an LLC, we notified the registered agent, as we're required, and we notified the
isn't there
corporation.
A name on the registered agent?
Yeah, we have a name of a registered agent. We just don't have a name. It's on public record, and any of us can search for it. I just don't happen to have that in the file right at this time. But because our notification will go to the corporation as well as to the registered agent, and those notifications were sent appropriately, and I looked, and they were signed for by the
right. That's who owns the house. This is not the management company. This is who owns the house. I mean, it could be the management company as well, but
right. But they are the owners
LLC
of record.
Owns the
they
house.
The owners of okay, that's fine then.
Yes, yes, sir.
I just concerned.
That makes a big difference.
Yes,
you know, if a resident owns, you know, has physical ownership, and a management company, you know, that's bringing it for the owner. There's a big difference in that.
Well, there is, except the owner is, in my opinion, the owner is ultimately responsible.
Absolutely, the owner is responsible.
Right.
Am I not correct on that?
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying.
Not being an attorney.
But in this case, this LLC is the owner.
Okay.
So they are
right.
The actual
owner. Yes, they are the owner.
That was my concern, that this was the actual owner.
Yes, sir.
I mean, all of these, when you see this here, any name that you see here are the actual owners of record. That's who the complaint is brought against.
That's who we bring the complaint against, of course, as well as the tenants.
Right, exactly.
In commercial circumstances.
Right. Okay. All right. All right, well, now we are finished 23. Did you turn it? Yes, I think that was in there. It's all included in there. Move on. Case number 24. No. Did we do that? Oh, same circumstances. Case number 24 is the same. All right, let's go back. Did we? I thought we did have a second and a vote on that.
No, we didn't.
We did not?
No.
No.
Okay, all right. Okay.
You asked for a motion for non-compliance and...
All right. The chair will entertain a motion upon respondent non-compliance or respondent come into compliance by the next cutoff date of May 3rd, 2017 or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 a day. Such a motion?
So moved.
All right. Motion, Mr. Smart. Second, Mrs. Himes. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Like sign opposed. Motion carried. All right. Same circumstance on case number 24, CEB04-17-30.
Yes, ma'am. Same circumstance. Okay. Everything is the same.
Any questions from anyone?
No.
All right, chair will entertain a motion to find respondent in non-compliance and or respondent come into compliance by the next cutoff date, May 3rd, 2017, or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Second.
All right, motion, Mr. Smart. Second, Mr. Harrington. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. Case number 25. Same circumstances?
Yes, ma'am. Same circumstance.
Chair will entertain a motion to find respondent non-compliance or respondent to come into compliance by the next cutoff day or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Second. All right. That was a motion from Mr. Smart and a second from Mrs. Himes. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries.
I'd like to ask a question.
Okay, go ahead.
On multiple violations with the same rental party, isn't there a different standard? I somehow recall that if you're a landlord and you're fined on one property and then it occurs on another one of your properties, that the violation fine is considerably higher.
Yes, ma'am. You're referring to the repeat violation.
Yes.
It wouldn't be a repeat violation until we have made the findings on one.
To repeat violation, it's an order on one property that affects all properties in that particular county. It cleans on all of them. A repeat violation would be just they would cover everything. We call it bond order.
But these fines are $1,000 per property, so that's $3,000 per day for the total.
Maximum fine
for each case we hear.
If they were to come before you again under a fresh new circumstance, we probably would be looking at it as consideration of as repeat violation.
Okay. Thank you.
And also, I mean, are these properties? I guess we should have asked this before, not that it matters, but we might as well hear it now. The addresses are all close by to one another. Are they single-family houses? Are they okay, they're all single-family houses.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Madam Chair, I think what she was asking was because there are three cases,
right,
even though they are different addresses, I believe she was saying that maybe she read something when you get this many.
The same owner.
The same owner that they're...
You know, landlords.
Yeah. Excuse me. The intent of the... the intent of the repeat violation enhancement is when someone has been found in violation and after that remedy has been remedied, does that same action again. In this
on
situation,
a different
all three of these are still pent up or waiting for it to be resolved. So they hadn't actually, the intent of the enhancement is for someone who has not resolved, or once they resolved it, don't go and do it again. So these all arose at the same time.
That's not what I remember. I mean, I could be wrong, but I remember that if it was a violation by a landlord and then on another property by that same landlord, there was an enhanced violation fee, and this guy has three. But that's not it?
No, I think, I don't know whether this is what you're referring to, but you may be referring to the lien process. That once a lien is put on a property, that it also encumbers the other properties that someone owns. I'm not sure that's what you're referring to, but that is how that works.
I just remember from the class that you were talking about that, and this is the first incident I've seen with three properties from the same landlord.
They first have to appear.
Okay. All right.
And I'll be happy to go over some more with you.
Yeah, exactly.
In general.
Right.
That encumbers all of the properties.
Correct.
The county, right. The same property.
I think that's what you're referring to.
Advantages that the statute gives to be able to comply.
Right. Okay.
That's the property gun.
At any rate,
I think.
That's
I mean,
a moot issue because we haven't ruled anything
yet. Right.
In this case, it's a moot issue.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. So.
Okay.
I'm better.
I'm good.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Thank you.
Good.
I'm sure when it comes back, Mr. Jackson will have thoroughly researched things and will give us the proper recommendation.
All right, we're going to move on to case number 27. Does Danny hear it? Yep. Case number CB0417-34, Binney Enterprises. Whoa. All right. What can you tell us, Mr. Jackson?
Madam Chair, members of the board, this property is before you for determination of compliance or noncompliance. The inspector is Danny Garcia. As the your agenda so notes, they were first notified in September of 2016. The reason that we have all of this time before this portion of it, I think it's references to another case that's actually just closed on Tuesday, or and I say closed, was just sanctioned on Tuesday because there were a lot of efforts to accomplish some work at the site that did not ultimately happen. But in any sense, this is an additional violation from what occurred in the prior case. And this is that they have no building permit for roof work that was being done. They indicate that they were trying to find a contractor and acknowledge having done the work because they didn't have a contractor. But in any sense, the property is in noncompliance. I did get notification from redevelopment of the emphasis and the desire that we recognize that they are not, and they have not been working with the city and accomplishing and achieving the things they indicated they would achieve. But with this specific case, they're in noncompliance, and the staff is requesting that you give them till next cutoff to come into compliance, and that's all we have for this case. Again,
right,
this is the property at 245 Tarragona Way.
All right.
Oh. They were two different addresses. Okay. Same owner.
Yeah.
We've had a problem with the owner, not with the address. I apologize. I'm getting clarification from Board
Secretary. Yeah, I'm having trouble putting these pictures with the roof. Yeah, so is it that roof?
Now I have to look to the inspector so he can give it back.
Okay. I don't get where that roof is in comparison to that house roof.
Inspector Garcia, my credential on the file with the city. It's actually, keep going. Cliff.
He's got it. He's got it.
I saw it on another one.
I don't know.
It's there. Right there. It's that one.
Okay, so that portion of the roof?
Yeah, that whole back.
Yeah, over the porch.
Yeah, and the property manager was the one that did the work. She no longer works for the owner, and it was an issue with getting a contractor. She said she tried many times. She was on a list.
But this is not related to hurricane damage. Because the case was brought in September.
No, there was a leak that they found that came from that area, and they couldn't get anybody to fix it. She took it upon herself to fix it herself. And she said that it would be a temporary fix until she found the contractor because of the leak, the water that was coming through. But they didn't find one. And from what I understand, they still don't have a permit, not even applied for.
Okay.
I posted it. I had to post it. I even had to post the affidavit of service. Okay. I even went to the owner's property where he resides and talked to him there because I had seen him there before. And that house is for sale. So I can't even get a hold of him.
All right. Any questions for staff? Okay. Chair will entertain a motion to find respondent non-compliance and order respondent to come into compliance by the next cutoff date, May 3rd, 2017, or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Second.
All right. Motion, Mr. Smart. Second, Mrs. House. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. All right, now let's look at case number 28-CEB04-17-35, Kenneth and Clara Rowe. No building permit for siding. Okay.
This is in compliance.
It is. I'm sorry, that could be my... Okay.
As of today.
Good. All right. Well, that takes care of that case.
Permit was approved. And
okay.
Yeah, this is good.
Yeah, I think I probably missed that on. All right, and then we only have one more case. Is that correct? Case 30? Oh. Yeah, okay. Okay. All right, this is CEB04-17-37, Jared Shane Johnson. No building permit for new fence. What can you tell us, Mr. Jackson?
Madam Chair, members of the board, this case is before you for determination of compliance or noncompliance. That's the property at 417 South Seneca Boulevard. The inspection was complaint generated. The inspector is Daniel Garcia. If the property remains in noncompliance, he asks that you give the respondent until next cutoff to come to compliance. And I turn to Mr. Garcia for any further factual questions.
Are you in touch with this person, Mr. Garcia?
Inspector Garcia, my credentials on file. Yes, I am. I actually spoke to him yesterday, and he said that he was going to apply for the permits. I checked, and he hasn't yet.
Right. Okay.
But it seems like it's a fence that was damaged from the hurricanes, and he chose to replace it with a brand new one. And that's what he did.
Okay.
It's that one right there.
Okay.
But he did it without a permit. So.
Okay. All right. Okay. Is that anything else from the board? The chair, a motion. We're going to get a motion. Chair will entertain a motion to find respondent noncompliance in order the respondent to commit to compliance by the next cutoff date, May 3rd, 2017, or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 a day. Such a motion?
So moved. Second.
All right. Mr. Smart, the motion. Mr. Weatherholtz, the second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Okay. So that ends our regular slate of code enforcement complaints. Let's see what miscellaneous business means. Mr. Jackson.
Yes, Madam Chair, members of the board. This is a case that went for you and a fine was imposed. It was before you for imposition of a fine. And it was discovered at our prior meeting that subsequent to that meeting was discovered that the property actually changed hands on the day of the meeting. And the new buyer has been making good progress from the time of purchase, and the inspector would not have wanted the effect of a sanction on his new buyer. They obtained it and immediately started improving the property. And so asking for the order imposing fine to be rescinded. Correct. Okay. And that, the inspector would be Mr. Sanders.
Can I ask a question? What's the difference between... So we don't have a lien on this property. Is that correct? We do have a lien.
Right. Once we impose the fine, once and it's recorded, I don't know if it's been recorded.
It
hasn't
been recorded.
Okay. So right now, with the fine, it becomes a lien when it's recorded.
In order saying it's eliminated. No one recorded it.
Okay.
Keeps the record.
The book's clean.
Okay.
Well, I think the real reason is, you know, if it's the fine was opposed, was there a letter of estoppel in with the sale? Did he notify the new owner that there?
At the time of closing, there would have been a matter of record at the time. Yeah. That same day.
Yeah, we would. Oh. We would know. No one would know.
No one would know.
So just have to do an order. The order of dismissing the fine lien.
And if it was someone not doing anything, it may be reasonable to say, let's, you know, do something different. But in this circumstance, the inspector is well pleased with the response of the new owner, immediate response.
We haven't recorded it.
Yeah. Right, nothing's been recorded, nothing's been... Okay.
Just clean seat.
Right.
Clean seat to the record.
So the motion will be, Chair will entertain a motion to rescind the fine in case number CEB01-1704.
And dismissed, right?
And dismissed. And yeah, case dismissed.
Dismissed.
Right. All right. We have a motion from Mrs. Himes. Do we have a second? Second from Mr. Jones. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. All right.
Can I just ask a question on that?
Yeah, go ahead.
This changed ownership, right?
Yeah.
Because I'm looking at, you know, we dealt with this in February.
Okay. And what was it, David E. Pitts? That's who we dealt with?
The estate. But I don't see anything regarding the change.
The new person, right.
Well, that's our point. Yes, sir. That's our point, Mr. Smart, that we didn't have that information at the time. So we sanctioned the David Pitts estate, but they had changed hands, and the new owner would be the one that would attach to the property and would be suffering the penalty of the violation.
All right, so that's why I just...
At the time we went ahead and made the decision to enter the fine, there was a new owner. We weren't aware of it, but it was a new owner. So the law said we've got to go back and give the new owner opportunity to be heard. We didn't do that. We didn't know about it. So we went ahead and cleared up the record. Fortunately, we didn't record anything, so that's good. We just cleaned up the record by doing this work.
Okay.
Okay. So, but is he in compliance now? Is that what you're saying? It doesn't matter. Alright, so if... Alright, now let this... Because we've already made this decision, but let me go back. If it turns out he doesn't do all this stuff, then he can be brought for a new case. The new owner can be brought for a new case.
Yes.
Got it. Clear. Okay. Any other business before the board?
So I've never seen that before, where we change the property.
Right. That day of the meeting, the hour of the meeting, or during the meeting.
We've had situations where someone's circumventing the process.
Right.
And at that point, you may look at it as someone stepping in the shoes of an owner. But in this situation, when we have someone that's actually remedying the violations, then that's not something that I don't think that's not the intent of these such
that. They're remedying the violations.
They're working on it. It's not complete, but they're working in good faith, and we're pleased.
They don't do it, they can be cited.
Now, Mr. Garcia, Hector wanted to let you know of another issue that you had raised during the meeting. And
okay, Mr. Garcia.
Madam Chair, members of the board, Hector Garcia, Neighborhood Services Division Manager. Mr. Weatherholtz had made mention to the case that we just heard, 712 North Wild Olive, in regards to notifying the property appraiser's office that the property is vacant and that it is homesteaded. We've already taken the initiative, contacted the fraud division. They've been put on notice. They're going to investigate that. So that's been handled and rectified per your request.
Thank you.
That's great. Good. Okay. Thank you.
Just a question. Now that we're on TV, are we going to be required to join the union? And we
Well, not if they don't put your face up there. You won't have to worry.
expect that.
Well, we could be. I don't know. It's still up there. All right, meeting adjourned.